Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, with Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. The Huskers emerge victorious from another Big Ten slugfest, slopfest, whatever you want to call it. Nebraska beats Northwestern 28-21. Your Nebraska Cornhuskers are 6-2, their best record through eight games since 2016. Bowl eligible for the second year in a row, which we're not even going to mention because it's just the expectation. It's just the expectation.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is notable. We'll mention it, but we won't celebrate it because we're ready for much more. But anyway, 6-2 Huskers. We're going bowling. We beat Northwestern again. We win the NU Bowl. Northwestern's an afterthought. Have we even played them much in the Big Ten? It doesn't matter. We beat them. We just beat them. That's what we do. And the Common Fan tailgate was a smashing success yesterday.
Oh, so good.
Yes, it was. So much fun. That was so much fun. Shout out to Steve Taylor, Husker legend Steve Taylor stopped by. Friends of the program, Michael Severe and Gary Sharp stopped by. Eric Hess from Arbitrary Analytics stopped by.
Yeah.
And we had a bunch of Common Fan listeners. We had some OG Common Fan listeners who have been listening to us from day one. We had some newer Common Fan listeners. We had some friends and family of all of ours. So, well, you know what, guys? I had this thought. I've said about my wedding reception many times that it's like everybody in the world that you would want to see and spend time with, and you feel like you don't have time to talk to any of them. Yeah. So there was a little bit of that yesterday. Like, I wanted to sit and talk to everybody who was there for like an hour each, you know, and it felt like we kept getting pulled in different directions, but all good things, all in good ways, but just tons of people there, people who have listened for a long time. We love you all. We appreciate you all. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for hanging with us. And for those of you who showed up yesterday, just really, honestly, truly, we were Matt and Geoff and I were getting a little sappy last night, but just texting about this cool Common Fan community that we've developed, and we love having all of you be a part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Geoff, and it's okay that you were late, Geoff. It's okay.
I was just going to say, just to clarify, I wasn't late. TJ and his over-precautionist decided to order an abundance of food, an excessive, disgusting amount of food. And I do have to say, gluttonous amount of food.
It ended up coming in handy, Geoff.
It did. I will give you props for that. Like, the amount of food and drink that we went through yesterday was absolutely remarkable. So kudos to the Common Fans for making it easy on us for less stuff that we had to lug back home after the fact. Good job on all of you folks.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I want to say, a lot of people know Charlie Colon. He's been on the show, actually, big, you know, great insight as a sports fan and a fellow Common Fan. He's the owner of Chick-fil-A at South Point. Charlie donated all the Chick-fil-A that was at the, we had like four pans of chicken nuggets and four pans of mac and cheese. And huge props. I mean, like, Charlie does a ton in the community when it comes to feeding people that nobody else even knows about. And then he's also involved with the athletic department, and he feeds like visiting teams when they're on their way out the door, you know, whatever sport you can think of.
Yeah.
He's just involved in the community in many ways. Huge Husker fan, former college athlete himself, and just a phenomenal human being. So, Charlie, we love you. Thanks so much to Chick-fil-A at South Point for feeding a ton of Common Fans yesterday. That was just awesome. So huge props. We got to have Charlie back on. Got to have Charlie.
Charlie's just a mensch. Just a great guy.
Just a joy to be around.
Just a sweetheart. Just a sweetheart of a man.
He is a sweetheart of a man.
Yeah. But I did. So, I mean, like, it's fine, Jeff. I'm not holding a grudge or anything, but the donuts were ready for pickup at 5:30 and Jeff sends a text at 5:55 that he's in line for the donuts. If you'd been there at 5:30, there would have been no line.
Next time I'll get up at 4:30 in the morning. Next time I'll get up at 4:30 on a Saturday for you, TJ.
We do this one time a year, Jeff. Unbelievable.
The donuts
anyway,
were
safe. I mean, you know, Jeff hung out at the tailgate throughout the game. You probably could have picked up at halftime, but it's fine. It's fine that you did.
I did pick up. Remember that? I cleaned up all that garbage. I got everything nice and organized. I guarded the tailgate with my life because there was so much good food and drink there that I felt like somebody had to stay behind and make sure nobody stole anything from us. So you're welcome, TJ and Matt, for doing all the heavy lifting while you guys are just rubbing elbows with the nice people in the stadium. I'm out there scrubbing away, busting my hump. PBR for life.
It's about time you pull your weight, Jeff. I mean, so it was good to see you finally do something to help out a little bit.
Right. So just fantastic. Just huge, great vibes post tailgate. And again, thanks to all of you who came out. It was so awesome to meet you. Also thanks to my Uncle Paul who picked me up at 5:30 in the morning and helped us.
Uncle Paul.
Yeah.
He's a real one.
Yeah. And I had some other family there. Shout out to Aunt Diane, who drove all the way from Oklahoma City.
Holy cow.
All the family and friends who were there. We love you all. So, and you know what we love more? I don't think we'd be talking about loving anybody if we'd lost that game. No, just kidding.
I'm joking.
But you it's just so
we
funny.
You mentioned the tailgate at this. I don't even think we'd be recording right now. How we would just abandon this whole thing.
Well, look, we're recording this. We're recording this early Sunday morning. So, guys, we're 6-2. I'm expecting us to be ranked later today, just FYI.
Oh, really?
No, just not at all. Not at all.
It's going to take one more, I think, to sneak back in there.
It's so funny, though, because I was like, we're all like, I don't know how about you, Matty O. We're sitting in the stadium. We're up 21-6. It's like, okay, well, like, we're good. They're bouncing back. Like, the good bounce back, guys. We're running away with this game. And then, like, the unease and the like everything starts to boil back up and the stomach turning feeling starts to come. I will say with this one, I had this weird, maybe it was just the booze, but I had this weird calm feeling that we were going to find a way.
Well, it didn't feel like this one felt like it was more like the officials than it was like our guys messing up or like doing something wrong. Like, yeah, we, you know, it was really, to me, it was 21-6, and that turning point was that horrific spot of the ball. And I watched back to see what the TV broadcast said, and they kept, Mark Helfrich, who was doing the color commentary, kept saying something like the line was displaced or something. The line to gain was displaced. They're off. They were off with it or something. So it made, and I'm like, what? Like, first of all, I'm the correct marker. And second of all, if they're supposed to get where the marker is, that's where the first down is. I'm sorry. You know, if you realize that it's off, take a timeout and set it where it's supposed to be. But that was I thought that was a terrible call. And at that point, it's 21-6. The very next play after they don't overturn it, they run down to like the 5-yard line. We have a face mask and then they end up getting the end zone. So it felt like, you know, we got these guys right where we want them. And then the officials let them get back in the game.
Well, and then
that's a terrible call. I don't care what the explanation is.
And then on their next scoring drive, was the awful I think it was third and long, wasn't it? The awful PI call.
Yeah.
That really, in my opinion, wasn't pass interference, but even if it was, the ball was not catchable. Like it was not remotely catchable.
I think that's the first game I turned to Matty Jr. and I said, I think that's the first game I've ever heard almost the whole stadium doing a refs you suck chant at Memorial Stadium. Like I don't think I've ever heard that before. Maybe out of the student section, but not like the entire stadium.
But credit to the Huskers. We'll get into the game. We got to do sponsors and corn cobs. But credit to the Huskers. I thought, look, big picture, they got up off the mat after Minnesota. They came out swinging, right? They brought, you know, 11 a.m. kick on a gray day in Lincoln.
Very big 10 day.
Remember, we talked about UCLA. We did our Common Fan tailgate at UCLA last year. Remember, we talked about the stadium felt dead. The energy was just off. Didn't feel like that today. The energy was there. So shout out to the Common fans who brought it and shout out to the team.
Yeah.
And their first drive, they go down and score. They're looking good. They're feeling good. And so look, it wasn't perfect. We'll get into all that, but They got up, like what we needed to see was they got up off the mat after Minnesota. They learned their lesson from Minnesota and they did that. So that's huge. Let's get into sponsors and corn cobs. Then we'll get into the game a little bit. Game day isn't complete, Common fans, without delicious Nebraska beef. And if you really want to upgrade your spread this season, Oak Barn Beef has got you covered. They ship premium Nebraska-raised beef straight from their family farm to your front door. Steaks, roasts, ground beef, you name it. Order online at oakbarnbeef.com and make every tailgate or watch party a little more memorable. That's oakbarnbeef.com. Hopefully many of you were munching on some Oak Barn beef yesterday while watching the Cornhuskers cruise to victory, or at least fight their way to victory. All right, let's do corn cobs, boys. This segment is brought to you by the Nebraska Farm Bureau, the largest agricultural organization in the state with more than 56,000 members. For over a century, Farm Bureau has supported Nebraska's farm and ranch families, but their impact stretches far beyond the field. They grow leaders, amplify voices at the Capitol, and strengthen communities across our state. Agriculture is the backbone of Nebraska. When it thrives, we all thrive. Join Nebraska Farm Bureau today at nefb.org. That's nefb.org. Corn cobs, Geoff, since you cleaned up at at halftime.
I did do that. Yeah, thank you for acknowledging that. I did do that.
You guys like my mom's, I'm at my mom's house, a leopard print coffee mug. You like that?
Oh, that's a lovely coffee mug.
Yeah.
I got the one. This is a Top Gun one.
Yeah, that's cooler. That's cooler than this one.
Just
yeah.
Talk to me, Goose. See that?
that's cool.
There you go. Yeah, it's from the movie.
Really cool, Geoff.
Geoff is the guy who orders everything from the In-Flight magazine. Do you have a sharper image catalog? Sorry, Geoff.
Okay. All right. Let's get back on track here. Full disclosure, like I was in and out of that game because being at the tailgate, like there was one TV at a tailgate.
Like because right you were behind. So drunk? Is that what you mean?
No, I was cleaning, scrubbing.
In and out of consciousness.
So me
nodded and, off. What happened there, guys? I nodded off.
Sorry. Power nap. I'm back. That's what I feel like doing right now. Just taking a power nap right now. Don't be surprised if you see me doze off halfway through the phone. I had Janie with me, my daughter, and she, me and her pulled up some lawn chairs right behind the tailgate that was right behind ours. And so they had a TV set up there. And so we sat there and the one thing I noticed was when we were up, things were great. But man, when we were not, I don't want to say down, but when it was close, I had that pit in my stomach, like, oh my God, here we go. I'm maybe the vibe in the stadium was giving you guys a different feeling, but out there it was not looking good. It was not feeling good. I won't lie to you there, but we needed a spark. Big time spark. And we got that spark with a big time Hollywood play that hasn't happened, I think, since 2017, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think you're right, Geoff.
Yeah. Kenneth Williams. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Geoff. You finish.
Housed one, a 95 yarder. Housed one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm curious to know what it felt like when that happened in the stadium because we were going crazy on the park. Plus, we're on a delay. So, like, the fireworks would go off a few seconds before it would happen on the television. I'm like, what the hell just happened? I was like, I'm pretty sure we were just kicking off right now. Saw that 95 yard return. That's the ultimate Hollywood play, in my opinion. Either a long bomb pass, Hail Mary type thing, or a kick or a punt return. That is the definition of a Hollywood play and exactly what we needed. We'll get into the special teams and what I think about that in a little bit. But good Lord, that was the spark the Huskers needed to send us on a trajectory and pull us up out of the doldrums. So Kenneth Williams is definitely getting the corn cob from this guy today. Definitely.
Love that. Love it. He deserves it.
I love it. Matt Rhule said after the game, somebody get this guy an NIL deal. So, you know, if he's down for like five pairs of socks and a couple of nickels, I think we could step up. We could
couple of socks, couple of nickels.
Does he need some Oak Barn beef?
I will say, guys, we had talked before the game. This is so, I mean, I live out of town. People know that. So I don't go every week. But the last win I saw in person was 2017 Arkansas State when J.D. Spielman had that house call.
Ooh, and really?
Handsome
that was the
Bob,
same game?
Handsome Bob Diaco's defense almost blew it at the end.
real quick, the, you know, they do like guess the year, like they do the guess the year thing in the stadium. It was 2017. And you had told me that. before the game that you're like,
oh, I wasn't sure what you were
saying. I missed being like 2017.
I wasn't sure what you were saying there. And I had missed, I wasn't paying attention to what was on the video board. So I was like, what are you saying there?
Yeah. It's all these signs, all these signs. It was supposed to happen.
Stars aligned.
I love it. Yeah. All right, Matty O, corn cob.
I'm going to go the defensive side of the ball for the guy, an Omaha North guy, Donovan Jones, huge pick off a tip ball. And he had a couple of big tackles. One I remember in the open field that was just huge for no gain. Guy kind of got to the edge and Donnie had a nice form tackle and took him down for no gain. He's becoming, I mean, he's already a really good football player, but he's getting better in pass coverage. I've always thought he's really good coming down and helping on the run. But to see him making plays in the pass game and D'ing guys up, I think he's awesome. And he's got, you know, a couple more, two, three more years to play, I think. So really looking forward to him and Donovan Jones. I don't know if he likes Donnie. Donovan Jones, corn cob from this guy, black shirts.
I love that. Huge pick, like you said. But that open field tackle, Matty O, was, I thought, just as big of a highlight because it was him or no, and then nobody.
Him and Grass.
One. And then, like, in the moment, like, even when he stuck the guy, the stadium was kind of like, ooh. But then on the replay, I was like, I want to watch this tackle. And it was perfect form. Like, he broke it down. Like, he didn't dive in anybody's feet. Mm-hmm. He didn't, like, lunge one way or the other, kept the guy in front of him. But what I always find impressive is with, like, when you do that, you have to slow your body down a little bit. He was still able to deliver a massive hit on the back, wrap up, drive him down. Didn't the other thing that drives me nuts that this year's team does, I think, a little bit more than, again, they're young, they're growing, but it feels like we hit somebody at a yard or two and they fall forward for a couple more yards.
Yeah, we had a lot of falling forward.
Yeah, yeah. But that didn't happen on that play. So huge game from Donnie Jones. And overall, guys, again, really good day for the black shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, they're not as dominant as they were the last 2 years. They have a lot of young guys, but again, 7-6 at halftime. They, again, a couple of bad calls away from more stops. And then the big one was once it got into nut cutting time and it was a tie game and we get the ball and we throw a pick on the first play of the drive. It was like, wait. This could go downhill really quickly, mm-hmm. and the black shirt step up and made a massive stop. So,
basically by right too when it was tied.
Yes,
gets the ball back.
Yeah,
so exactly. Shout out to him. He's gotten plenty of corn cobs, I think, but he's a baller and he deserves a little bit of a mention.
Yep, and my corn cob will not surprise anybody. The man, the myth, the legend, Emmett Johnson. He's legitimately one of the best. Legitimately one of the best backs in the Big Ten. I think he's over 800 yards on the season now. He had 124 yards rushing on 27 carries. I guess another takeaway, guys, this game post Minnesota debacle is there was more of a commitment to the run, and there was more of a commitment, you know. And I will say too, guys, for the most part, you know, for as much flack as this offensive line has taken, and you know, as that's probably will still be something we complain about this season. I thought for the most part, Emmett had room to run, like big holes, right? Yeah. And so, you know, he makes stuff happen on his own sometimes, and he has to.
Yeah, he does.
But he had room to run. He made the most of it, and they had a couple catches, so almost 30 touches.
Yeah,
that is the formula, Dana.
Yes.
Matt, 100%. Dana, that's the formula.
Yeah.
Give Emmett the ball. Yes. Really, that last drive, we don't have to fast forward. That last drive is the formula, right? I think Dylan hit a couple throws on the move. Got Emmett the ball. Nice mix of that. Found guys open, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, Emmett, I don't know where this team would be without Emmett Johnson and Mike Eckler.
Yeah, no kidding, right? The truth.
Yeah. But okay. So I want to
I want to shout out Isaiah Hunter too. And Isaiah Hunter has just been an absolute stud.
That's our dude.
Like Hunter's probably our best receiver, like all around receiver. Mm-hmm. He's balling out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 6 receptions for 70 yards and an amazing toe dragging touchdown for Hunter. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you guys something real quick? I just thought of something too with that toe drag. So Janie always laughs when I at least once a game, I'm always like, why are we doing the damn fade pass? I don't like that thing. Why are we doing that?
And then finally to Hunter with that toe drag touchdown pass. It wasn't quite a fade, but it was close. And Janie goes, Dad, the fade pass. It worked. It worked, Dad. I was like, it did. It kind of worked.
I love that. It worked. It worked. I love that. Well, let's talk game really quick, guys. And then I want to do something we haven't done before. Here's where this thought came from. I'm sitting there when we're in turmoil. And like you said it after the game, Matty, the first drive was beautiful. The last drive was beautiful. There were a couple other small stretches where we did a few good things on offense. But for the most part, it's like, where is that in the middle part of the big middle of the game? Can we just get
more consistent, like, and have more drives look like that first scoring drive and the last scoring drive?
Right. So when we were in the ugly middle, the large ugly middle, I'm sitting there just boiling and like, what is going on? This is not better. Nothing is better. The offense isn't better. This is Marcus Satterfield light. You're not Marcus Satterfield 2.0, whatever, whatever. And again, like it's irrational, and I had a couple of beers. And so, you know, like we're not trying to throw anybody under the bus here, but I want to do a little exercise where we look at and say, is it actually better? And then we'll just list a bunch of things, because I think my suspicion is we are going to say, yes, for the most part, things are better. They're often in year three. I think it's also fair to say not as much better as we would like them to be, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what kind of where we are. It's not as consistent as we would like it to be, and it's not always as good as we would like it to be. But I think most things, for the most part, are better for this team. I mean, they're 6-2 for crying out loud. I know the schedule hasn't been the toughest in the world, but I mean, you lose that game, you fall to 5-3. The November slog will undeniably be 3-1 in October. 3-1 in October in the Big Ten.
Like, well, I think awesome.
Like the November slog will unquestionably be harder than the October slog. Mm-hmm. But now you've put yourself in a position to 8-4 still on the table, 9-3 still on the table.
Yeah, it's all out in front of them. It's all out in front of them, TJ.
Exactly. But let's tick through the. So we took. I mean, 7-6 at halftime. The first half was kind of. I don't know. I thought it was a little bit uneventful. Kenneth, huge boost with the kick return to start the second half.
Can I go back just one second?
Yeah,
we have had a propensity to really end first halves with a whimper. Like, I think there's multiple games where Dylan gets sacked for the last play of the half. That's happened, I think, at least twice. It happened against Minnesota. Right? It happened another time. And then this one was kind of a whimper. Like, it would be great if we could, like, end the first half, like, with a nice little positive thing. Mm-hmm. So we're going into halftime, not coming back. Like, we're not like, okay, we better come back out in the second half, ready to go and get something going. Like, let's go to halftime with good vibes.
Yeah, feeling like, the flow.
Let's see what could happen with that, because it hasn't happened a whole lot. Okay, sorry. I wanted to get that out.
Good call.
No worries. I'm trying to remember. Oh, that's right. Well, that was kind of an annoying end of the half, because that was another one where, okay, we went 15-yard, well, we started with the -3-yard run on Nebraska's last possession of the half, but then 15-yard run, 7-yard pass, 21-yard run. Mm-hmm. And so that was 1st and 10 at our own 35. Then we had Emmett Johnson had a loss of 6. That was super annoying. Then a 15-yard pass, or no, that was not our own. That was Northwestern's 35. And then a 15-yard pass. So we're at the Northwestern 41. That was right. The 15-yard pass on 3rd and 16. And so we're at the Northwestern 26 on 4th and 1. And we did that like rollout play, like whatever that was.
Right, that was a terrible.
And I think it was supposed to be just a short dump off to Emmett. But it
4th and 1. You're gonna give it, just hand the ball to Emmett Johnson.
Hand it off. Yeah. Hand it off.
Yep.
Or
do the Harburg thing. Like have Harburg come in and sneak the damn thing.
Can I say one thing?
Northwestern could get 2-3 yards on quarterback sneaks, and we can get a yard.
Right, exactly. That was frustrating. Or just try, we're at the 26, kick a field goal. Those extra 3 points would have like provided a lot of breathing room at
10-6 at half instead of 7-6.
Right. And you give Cunanan a chance to kind of like redeem himself, you know, after the missed field goal. Mm-hmm. But I will also say when they bring Harburg in, can we do something other than him just, I mean, I know a couple of times we've done that weird revert, but a couple of things. One, maybe they're building up to something else. Take Dylan off the field, because you know he's not running the ball.
Right. So he's in a 3-point stance. They're not going to give it to him on a fullback trap. Like,
right. And then so take Dylan off the field and let like okay, I'm fine. Harburg's an athlete. We've all seen what he can do. So let him sneak. That's fine. But can we like run one RPO with him? Yeah. The defense isn't let him run the like let him get to the edge a little bit. He's such a good athlete.
We're saving anyway. That one, TJ. Yeah, we're saving that.
Calm down.
Exactly. Then we come out like Kenneth Williams kick return for a touchdown. It's 14-6. The vibes are sky high. Mm-hmm. And then anyway, we get up 21-6. And it felt like we were going to run away with it. And then we talked about this. And then we had the, I mean, again, it's a little hard. I feel like in this era of Nebraska football, there have been some really bad calls. I don't think it's a conspiracy by the Big Ten. I think they all suck. That's what
it's the CFIC. Like, everybody knows that, EJ. It's not necessarily, it's a lot of factors that come into play here, not just the Big Ten.
But I have been hesitant. There are some people who like to say, look, you know, those are game changing calls, blah, blah, blah. And that's true. But I want us to be better, so much better
that it doesn't matter. The refs don't matter.
Right. Yeah. However, like this one was bad. And Northwestern had a couple bad calls go against them, too. I will say that last one, apparently the TV guys and then the studio guys were saying at the end, Northwestern kind of got robbed or whatever. I mean, first of all, I don't care if it was a flagrantly bad call because we got hosed on so many bad calls.
Right.
But also, I'm not sure that ball was catchable no matter what.
No. He let him pretty far down the field.
Yeah. But like, it's a little bit hard. Like, it was frustrating in the moment. It felt like we were giving it away in the moment. But honestly, their two scoring drives in the second half were prolonged by really bad calls.
Yeah.
Really bad calls. Right. The terrible spot on 4th and 3. And then I think it was 3rd and long. The PI on 3rd and long on a ball that was not even remotely catchable.
Yeah.
So, it's frustrating when they score to bring it to 21-19. And it's frustrating when we let them get the 2-point conversion. Because even when they were going for two, I'm thinking to myself, we stop them here. Then we get a touchdown. It's a 9-point game. We pretty much put this thing away. But of course, that can't happen. Yeah. All that's frustrating. And, you know, everything puckers up. But the Huskers found a way. I think that's the other thing we need to highlight here.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Yep. The defense made stops late, right? The Javon Wright pick and then Northwestern's last possession. So the defense made stops late when Northwestern had a chance to either go ahead or tie. And the offense, again, inconsistent performance. Sometimes you wanted to pull your hair out, but the offense got it done in crunch time.
Yeah.
Again, which is what they did against Maryland, and they didn't have to do it against Michigan State, but they came back against Michigan State essentially.
Yeah.
We have not seen that in recent years. Like not once.
Yeah. Yeah.
There wasn't one time in a season where we said, well, at least they did a nice 2-minute drill or a 4-minute offense in this game. It never happened.
No.
So that and that last drive, Matty, you texted us this last night. That last drive, I think there were 3 3rd and 7s in a row. There were 4 third down conversions, 3 3rd and 7s in a row. And by the third one, I was like, we're going to get it.
Yeah.
We're just going to get it. And then on 3rd and 5, it was funny. My cousin's husband was sitting near us and we kept saying, we were like manic in those last moments, but we were laughing because on the 3rd and 5, they got 7 yards again.
Yeah.
Like it was just like, where's that offense been? This is great. Right. Yeah. This is what we, because in the ugly middle, I was saying to myself, remember at times in 2024 and 2025 since Dylan has been here, when we said, hey, we don't have to give up on third down anymore. Like we know we can get it now. It's like, where did that go?
Right. It was there yesterday.
It was there. Then they came, yeah. then they brought it. So again, like 6-2, I don't know how good this team is. It's probably not, it's not a playoff team. Let's be honest.
No, let's be honest.
We're flawed.
I think this will lead us nicely to our exercise, finding a way.
It's not a winning formula though. I'll tell you that much. Like
it has to be more consistent. Yeah,
exactly.
You're right.
Like, we've got, it's awesome that they can find a way, but we're not going to get that lucky every time. Like we've got, for, can we just have a complete game? We've talked about it. Like, we're good in the first and we're good in the fourth quarter. Can we just be good and consistent across all four quarters just for one game? I just want to see what that would feel like. Like, it would just be nice.
It would be nice for, especially the offense, to put it all together.
Yes. Yeah.
Like four quarters. And hopefully they're working toward that. Cause it has felt like, even when things felt good at certain times in 2023 or 2024, I feel like we've been having the same conversation. Could they put together four quarters, please? You know? So they'll get there. All right. I want to do this exercise. Is it actually better? Okay.
Yes.
We're just going to go through.
We need like a theme song. We need like a theme song for this.
I know. We need a jingle. What we need is a jingle. Yeah. All right. So we're going to start with an obvious one to get the vibes sky high. Special teams. Is it actually better? And the answer, unequivocally,
is a resounding yes.
Yes. A loud yes.
Kick return game. Check. And that was the one that felt like it was lagging at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. some of the other stuff was looking better, but we weren't really returning kicks well. Now Kenneth Williams almost took one to the house against Maryland. He gets into the zone against Northwestern. Kick return game, check. Punt return game, check. Archie Wilson, story of the year. The punting game is fantastic. I've told you guys this. I keep thinking, okay, he's young. He's never actually played real football before this year. Like, he's probably going to have a dud sometime, and we'll just have to give him some grace when that happens. And it doesn't, other than that wind game, which wasn't his fault, it doesn't really happen. I mean, he was money again yesterday.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, and the field goals are better. I mean, Cunanan, that was only a second miss of the season yesterday, by and large. And that was just a dud. He just shanked it, I think. I haven't had a chance to rewatch the game on TV. So that happens. But by and large, the kicking game is reliable. So special teams, resoundingly better. Mike Eckler, hire of the year for Matt Rhule. I don't think there's any question anymore. Geoff, I think you said it, Geoff, preseason, special team is going to win us multiple games this year. I think that's already happened.
You could argue there's been two. You could
argue. They're the difference between being 6-2 and 4-4 right now. So that's a big freaking deal. So
it is a big freaking deal, Jeff.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay. Let's go to one where the answer is probably going to be no. Let's look at the defense overall. Okay. let's look at stopping the run. I don't think that's better.
No, it's not better.
Yeah.
Stopping the run is not better. But again, it's getting, like, it's not as good as the last 2 years because we don't have Nash or Ty or Prince Will or Jamari or all those guys. But it's getting better as the season goes on. Mm-hmm. Deonta Davis, super young guy. Riley Van Poppel, super young guy. Williams Winery, super young guy. Vincent Shavers, playing with a freaking brick on his hand because he's got a broken hand or wrist or whatever. Yeah. Super young. I mean, there's a lot of talented guys there. And if you remember, like, Nash was always like this solid, big-bodied guy, but he wasn't dominant until his last year or two. And I feel, Ty was the one I was thinking. Both of those guys, I think, both really didn't start until they were like 5th and 6th year grown men in the Big Ten, right? So I think there's a lot to work with on this defense, and maybe we try to, Elijah Judy's a nice piece. I think probably it'd be great if we could supplement in the offseason in the portal with a couple, like one or two stud defensive linemen in particular, maybe a linebacker. But I think it's not as good. But there's a lot of young guys there. Let's talk about let's talk about the pass defense. I'll let you guys just answer the question: is it actually better? And then we'll talk about it.
Yes, the back end is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers reflect that. I think the stats. Our defensive backs have been outstanding. If you put the pass rush in as part of that, the pass rush I think could be better.
But that's a great
defending the pass, not talking about getting after quarterback, defending the pass, I think they've been outstanding.
I agree with Matt on that one. That's been our strong suit. But whenever we have a game when they say they have a mobile quarterback or they can run the ball really well, immediately I'm like, oh shit. What are we gonna do? So yeah, I would say preseason we said we just wanted the defense to we didn't want them to regress. So I'm not going to say they're worse. I'm not going to say they're better. I'm just going to say we've kind of just stayed on that same plane. We haven't really made any any drawback or any progress per se. I think we're just kind of where we were at last year. So I'm just going to say we're where we were last year. We're fine. We're okay.
So the passing defense is still number 2 in the nation. The rushing defense is number 90 in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, I think that's John Butler's specialty. Obviously, he had great secondaries and passing defenses with the Buffalo Bills for many years. A lot of young guys, a lot of talented guys in the secondary. It's maddening that we don't seem to be able to get to the quarterback. Even when we try to scheme it up, it doesn't seem to happen. Although sacks weren't a huge problem yesterday, it's made more maddening when we watch our own quarterback get sacked so many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think overall the defense, GF, that's a good point. It's maybe hanging around, maybe a little, you know, they feel less dominant than last year. I will say that. Like, true. Defense was more dominant last year. And it felt like they could keep us in any game. I'm not sure I would say that this year if we had Ohio State or Indiana or Oregon on the schedule.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a lot to work with there.
Yeah.
Overall on the defense.
Yeah. Those third, I mean, I think with experience like we had with Ty and Nash, you get some of those guys like Riley Van Poppel and some of the others. We probably would give up less third and twos. Like when we're third and two or fourth and two or fourth and one, I don't have real high hopes that we're going to stop them. You know, last year, you've got Ty and Nash, and they're like third and two. There's no way they're going to get this first down. Nash,
right.
Yeah.
Now it's just kind of like, oh God, Northwestern's running a quarterback sneak on third and two and getting 4 yards. Like that didn't happen in the last couple.
There was once or twice yesterday. I mean, in the stadium, it's a little bit harder to tell, but there was once or twice. Whereas, like, did the quarterback just fumble it? Oh, no, he just fell forward. I thought he needed like 4 yards, but he just fell forward and got the first down. So, anyway, but interestingly, so I just looked. I mean, we're still number 12 in total defense. Mm-hmm. And we're 30th in scoring defense, which, relates to how many.
It's just weird because, like, the pass defense is part of that. I think it's like the pass defense is so good that it's like
offsetting.
Making the entire defense as a whole look better when the run defense needs to be way better. But I feel, that hopefully that's something they can correct, maybe even a little bit in season, but for sure in the off season, I would think John Butler is going to go to, zone run defensive school to figure out like the gap fits and how to defend inside and outside zone.
Right.
Because that's where those big runs are happening. It's just, and that one the guy had yesterday, he got clogged up the middle and he just bounced it out, but there's no one there.
Ugh.
But, I think you can kind of figure those things out if you get a little time. So, hopefully.
All right, let's talk about the offense. Is it actually better? Let's start with the quarterback play.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff,
you're tricky. This is tricky to me because,
if you look at Dylan last year to this year, are we talking about pre-Matt Rule, is it better? Or are we talking about just from last year, is it better?
I'm just saying, like, in the Matt Rule era.
Yes.
Because that's what the measuring stick needs to be, continued progress.
I agree. It's better, but it's just tricky to me because of, like, the way that it's just so the extremes that we see. Like, we talked about it yesterday, like, he can throw inexplicable interceptions out of nowhere, and they're not even close, just inexplicable interceptions. But then he can turn around and lead us on game-winning drives not even 10 minutes later. So it's weird to me. It's just – that's why I say it's tricky. We've gotten better, but his play is just night and day from series to series. It's crazy to me. So I guess I could give him kudos that he can compartmentalize, put a bad play behind him, and then just keep marching forward. So – yeah, we're better. We're better. It's just kind of weird the way that it's turned out and how we've gotten better. But we're definitely better at the offense than we were in years prior.
We were just talking about quarterback play, Jeff. We're just talking about quarterback play.
Matty O.
Were you listening to TJ?
I dozed off for a second. I'm sorry.
He's still completing almost 73% of his passes, over 1,900 yards, 17 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Agreed. I think it's unequivocally better. And yesterday I thought he looked, even though the numbers weren't there, I think that had to do somewhat with the flow of the game. And when you return a kick for a touchdown,
Yeah.
That's an offensive possession you don't get. Like there's some, and then just we were running the ball more, which we should do, right? So like all of like, you know, the numbers were pretty pedestrian yesterday, but overall he looked better than he did against Minnesota. And again, made all the plays he needed to make at the end, which is the most important thing. I mean, that's on right. That's like an intangible thing, setting the numbers aside. The fact that, I mean, Tommy Armstrong was the last guy that we had. And again, this isn't all on the quarterback. I think Frost, clearly Mr. Offensive Genius, could not, for whatever reason, coach his guys to execute a two-minute offense to save his life. So let's remember that. But Dylan, I think, is the first guy since Tommy Armstrong, and this is the first, this team is the first one since whatever, Bo or Riley, you know, the Riley, I guess Riley a little bit, where we have the ball late, either down or tied, and there's at least a chance where you say, okay, we could go down and score. Like, we can still win this game.
Yeah,
it's been a long time since we've had that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Yeah. The last scoring drive, like we said, you know, when's the last time we had a quarterback convert 3 3rd-and-7s and a 3rd-and-5 on a go-ahead, like, basically game-winning drive? When's the last? Like, you'd have to be, let me think. You know, we just haven't had a lot of that. So, and Dylan's done it twice now against Maryland and Northwestern, where we needed to go down and score to either take the lead or, both of them were take the lead situations or just ice the game. Mm-hmm. And he's done it.
Right.
So, yeah, does he still need to get better at certain things? Yeah, he does. But, one sack. I think him and the offensive line only gave up one sack, I think, yesterday. He got rid of the ball. He threw the ball away. One time,
He must have listened to the podcast.
Oh, because for sure.
That was our complaint there. Was like, Dylan, you got to throw the ball away, man. Just do it.
There was a smattering of cheers when he threw the ball away.
Yeah. It's better. It's better.
All right. It's better. What about the run game?
Yes.
I think how about this? When the coaching staff or whatever, when they commit to it, it's better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Emmett Johnson game at Maryland, the Emmett Johnson game at Northwestern. That's the formula. Give Emmett the ball.
Unless something goes horribly wrong, we're going to have a 1,000-yard rusher this year. Like,
right.
We haven't, crazy to say this at Nebraska, but we haven't had a lot of those lately either. I mean, I don't know. Was Anthony Grant maybe the last one to crack 1,000 yards?
I think it was Divine Azigbo in 2018, I think.
Holy cow. So yeah. I mean, yeah, it's better. It's better.
Yeah. The rushing game is better. Would love
when they commit to it. That's the way you said it. Is when they commit to it. Yeah, it's better.
The formula, like the six, the formula is Maryland and Maryland and Northwestern. Mm. Heavy doses of Emmett, but you can still utilize your athletic playmakers and your Ja'Cory and Dane Key and Isaiah Hunter.
Have you guys ever heard of this crazy football concept that I've read about this lately? It's running the ball to set up the pass. Have you ever heard of that?
I remember. I think we studied this briefly at sophomore year of high school, Matt.
Yeah, I think it's been. I mean, I think it's been around for a while, but you know, people don't. You know, they don't do it enough.
They brought that up when I played freshman football. I remember that. Yeah, I remember that when I was a star athlete when I played freshman football. I remember them talking about that.
Right,
it's crazy.
Right, and then what about the wide receiver play? And we'll call that. And we'll lump Lynden Meyer in there too.
Yes.
I think Mark. It's
a resounding yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if anything, like Michael Severe commented about how they need to intentionally work to get Ja'Cory the ball more and Dane Key the ball more. So if anything, like I don't think it's on those guys. And Key made some clutch catches yesterday.
Yes.
Even though he wasn't, you know, Hunter had bigger numbers. They need to get Ja'Cory the ball. They schemed up like a reverse. It was like a really hard way to get like 7 yards yesterday.
Can we give that guy some better cleats? Like he slipped
a couple times.
Can we get him a little longer nub on the cleat or something?
There you go.
I don't know what you do for that field turf, but he's got such sharp cuts that he slips.
Yeah. And then let's just do Nebraska's ability to win close games.
Yes, it's better. It's
decidedly better.
I'd say that the monkey is off our back in that regard.
Right. So, I mean, I think it's easy to, when things are going wrong, it's easy to sit there and say, this is the same old crap. Darn this. Could we say, this is what I was saying, darn.
Darn it.
I was saying darn that.
Darn it, dude.
But like if we step back, I think the context is more that people want Kurt Cignetti. They want the unicorn.
Right.
They want, and everybody wants 12-0. right? And I hate giving Cignetti props, but he's like, nobody else has done what he's done. No one.
And they just beat the brakes off UCLA.
Yeah, they didn't see
any of the highlights. But
more pop 50, up on there.
50 points. Ooh. It'd be in my 50.
Well, it made me feel good to see UCLA's mojo blunted a little bit. We have to play them in a couple of weeks. Yeah. So I think I don't know. Will Matt Rhule ever win 10, 11, 12 games? Will he ever get us to the playoff? I think he's still a guy that can do that. Like any talk about him being on the hot seat or anything like that is non-existent. Right.
Right.
But I do think it's also fair, like after the Minnesota game, our Big Ten wins this year have been ugly. They've all been ugly. Mm-hmm. So I think it's fair, as we've said, we want to see more consistency. You want to see it look better. And also, like, when you have a Minnesota or Northwestern, Minnesota looked better than us. I don't think they're that much better than us, but they clearly dominated us when we played them. Northwestern looked pretty even with us, even though they got a lot of help from the officials. When you have teams that are significantly under-resourced compared to Nebraska, it feels like, okay, if these guys can coach their guys up to this level, mm-hmm. then we should be able to coach our more expensive quote-unquote roster up to a higher level, right? That's what it feels like. When Rhule made that comment, I'm with him, by the way. You want if everybody else is paying $40 million for their rosters, we need to do that to be I don't blame him for saying that.
No.
But if you're going to say that, you better be coaching your team up to the highest possible level.
Give us a reason to spend that much. Like, you know?
Right. Exactly. No. Exactly. So
can I just say, like, Husker fans, this is going out to all the Husker fans, the Common fans, all of us. You can be fully on board and believing in Matt Rhule and thinking that he's the guy but also be critical. You can do those two things together.
That's where
we're at. Most of the time we are fully on board with Matt Rhule. Let's not get this twisted.
Yeah. Like, for sure.
Until proven different, like, things are going well.
Yeah.
So, but you can, at the same time, something happens at Minnesota. Absolutely. We can be critical about it.
Yeah.
So we don't have to be like all on one side or the other. There's too much of that in today's world where I'm all the way on this side or I'm all the way on that side. No, you don't have to be. Like, we can be like, hey, I'm team Matt Rhule, but hey, we got to do this and that and this better.
Yeah.
Well, and something, I just totally blanked on what I was going to say. We talked about this at the after the game when we were still tailgating last night. A real sign of progress this year would be beat a team we're not expected to beat.
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
And I would lump all of USC, Penn State, and Iowa into that mix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. USC looks like the best of those teams right now. But I would never predict, I don't know what I think about that game, but I would never predict a win against Penn State right now. They still have, it's at Penn State.
Still at Penn State.
Yeah. They still have Penn State level athletes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And like, we've seen this too many times where it's like, oh, they're a dumpster fire, so we'll beat them. No, I would not guarantee
that. That's not the case at all.
And then Iowa is like, I hate Iowa.
They're doing Iowa things now again too. Like they're like terrible offensive numbers, but they're just blowing the doors off Minnesota, who we just lost to inexplicably. So that's not super comforting.
Yeah. And until Nebraska proves otherwise, we have to beat them. Right. So win, beat UCLA and win any one of those other three and we end the season at 8-4. I think Husker fans feel like this thing's on track.
We should be. We both know what we've seen.
And again, let's not rule out 10-2. Okay. Okay. Everybody. Okay.
Yep.
I'm not saying that's the ceiling. Okay.
The 8-4 thing, TJ, I agree with you. Like that it's progress, but you're not going to feel that way at the end of the season. I know you're not. You're going to be pissed about the losses that we have. Like we all predicted the Minnesota loss, right? I think we all predicted the Minnesota loss, but
not me.
I did. You didn't?
We're still
gutted. Like, I was still pissed off about it, and I predicted a loss at the beginning of the season. I was still pissed.
Yeah, I think you might be right, but I think it depends how it looks.
Yeah,
right?
It depends how it looks.
If it's more ugly of this ugly win stuff for the rest of the way.
We had a chance to win. Yeah.
Kind of like, oh, God. But you know what? And then also, I want to say, like, if we beat USC and or Iowa and it doesn't look great, Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Yeah, right.
That we still just got to win. Like it's like okay, we're getting back to like okay, we won, but we could do this and this and this, and that's fine because we do expect us to be better, mm-hmm. right, than we are.
Yeah.
But is it 8-4 and 8-4 and you beat one of those teams and I think that's we're going to be okay.
Here's the thing, and what we're going to obsess over all offseason is if we're 8-4, it'll feel like another good step forward. But what we're going to talk about for 9 months of the offseason is the 2020. Like, if you don't want to sleep very well, look at the 2026 schedule.
You were ripping that off to me yesterday. Good work.
Ohio State, Indiana, Michigan, Oregon. And then I think we have like, Google it, common fans.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So that's the thing is like, I think that, you know, let's keep this on. Let's say they go 8-4. Let's say they go 9-3, and we're all just absolutely thrilled, and we get a great bowl game, and we beat a stupid SEC team or something. Let's say like the vibes are even sky high. I think there's still an offseason full of uncertainty in that scenario because it's like, could they be better in 2026 but have a worse record? Because, you know, like they've got to. So that's the other thing that it's just like I just can't get a break. You know, like would love to, yeah, whatever. I want to eventually compete with the big boys, but it'd be nice to be have a schedule like this again next year.
Right? Yeah, no kidding.
All right. I don't think we're going to do reasons for optimism, reasons for concern, because we literally just broke down like every phase of the game and what's better and what's not. And so the Huskers are 6-2.
Mm-hmm.
We can now exhale. We know we've got a bowl game. We've talked about how much we love bowl games. Hopefully there's much more on the table for this team. Hey, another 3-1. They just went 3-1 in October. Let's go 3-1 in November, and everybody's thrilled with a 9-3 season, right?
Absolutely.
So, let's take it one game at a time. We got a huge one in Lincoln, 6:30 p.m.
Big one
against USC. Pray for a blizzard, common fans. Pray that those LA boys show up to Lincoln, and the weather is just something they've never seen.
Day after Halloween,
looking like,
right?
It's looking like maybe low. I think it's right now. It's like low 50s at kickoff, maybe high 40s, low 50s. So it could get a little. We could have it a little colder if we could. If Mother Nature could help us out a little bit,
shift some winds or help us out a little.
And we're black. It's blackout. Everybody,
right.
let's try to make it work here.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Tell Uncle Steve and Uncle Bill and all your aunts. You know, I know we normally wear red, but we're wearing black for this one. Like, you know,
Canadians are
able to do this, and we have not been able to. Like, you know, Tennessee even does like the checkerboard in this stadium. Some are orange, some are white. Like, these other teams are able to pull this off. It'd be fun if we could.
I will be curious to see how that goes. I'll be curious to see how that goes.
I know how it's going to go, but please, let's at least give it a little effort, everybody.
Hey, let's end with this. We said it before, we say it all the time. Celebrate all the W's.
Celebrate them, baby.
Celebrate all the W's. If the last 10 years of Nebraska football have taught us anything, let us never forget to celebrate all the W's. The Huskers are 6-2. We beat Northwestern. We beat pesky Northwestern again. It's never an easy one against Northwestern.
Nerds.
We beat them against.
Hey, was Bill Murray really at that nothing, game, or was that AI? Bill Murray
was. Yes, he was. There's nothing wrong with being smart or studying hard, kids. Anyway, go ahead, Biff.
No, that's all I was wondering.
Yeah, Bill Murray was there.
I'm like, Bill Murray was at the game? There.
Yeah.
Wild.
I don't know why, but he was on the Northwestern sideline. He was wearing purple. So, great win for the Huskers. Great common fan tailgate. Again, we love you all. Thank you all for coming out. We love our common fan family.
Hell of a day.
Thanks to Charlie Cologne for the food.
Again, so much.
Love you, Charlie.
Thanks to Uncle Paul for helping us set up and borrow his tables.
Thanks, Uncle Paul.
Thanks to all the family and friends who came out, all the friends of the common fans. Truly, our common fan hearts are full.
Yes.
After that tailgate, we can't wait to do it again next year. And on that note, common fans, be kind to each other.
Yeah.
We'll be back at you midweek. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
And Nebraska takes the lead. Bring that trophy back to Lincoln.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.